Today, we will be observing both Epiphany, which was yesterday, January 6th, and the baptism of our Lord today, Sunday, January 7th. So you see, we have two epistle readings and also two gospel readings this day. So readings from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, and also the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. Today's message is titled, Revealed to Us. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of His power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to His eternal purpose, which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Him, and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Here ends our reading from Ephesians. Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with Him like this in His death, we will certainly also be united with Him in His resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with Him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also will live with Him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, He cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over Him. The death He died to sin once for all. But the life He lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Here ends our reading from Romans. Reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, now beginning at verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw His star in the east and have come to worship Him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented them with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Here ends the gospel reading from Matthew, the gospel according to Mark, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. And he ate locusts and wild honey, and this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." Here ends our reading from the Gospel of Mark. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O God of unchangeable power and eternal light, look favorably on your whole church, which is a wonderful and sacred mystery. In your eternal foreknowledge, you peacefully do your saving work for humanity. Let the whole world know that things that were cast down are being raised up, and that things that had grown old are being made new, and all things are being restored by Him in whom they have their beginning, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. That is from the Gallicium Sacramentary. It's the second oldest liturgical book that we have. It comes from over 1,500 years ago. The account of the Magi. The wise men. You know the "We Three Kings of Orient Are." It's recorded in Matthew. And this shows the value of the four Gospels given to us by the Lord our God, as each of these of the Gospels at times fills in events of the Messiah that happened at different times and places that only one Gospel shares. Matthew's interest here is the fulfillment of prophecy. This huge entourage enters into Jerusalem. It begins stirring up the people. Where is the king that has been born to Israel? Where's the king that's been born? In the time of Matthew's writing, in that era, when someone said to be from the east, the understanding was that they came from Babylon or Assyria or Persia. And as the crow flies, it's a distance of 500 miles. And if you went to the far reaches of Persia, it's over 1,000 miles and more. And that's the crow flies. Travel routes were much farther in distance as they followed the lay of the land, oftentimes along waterways, because you always had water handy. I mean, travel was not easy too. And so the Magi came to see a king, a new king born. A star had appeared in the east. And that was a sign to them, something great has happened. Must go and see. No matter the cost, no matter the hardship, no matter the amount of time, must go and see. Doesn't matter how long it's going to take, we must go there. Doesn't matter how long it takes for us to get back, we must go and see. In Jerusalem, the word was out. Where's the king been born? And King Herod heard. Now this Herod is known as Herod the Great. This Herod is known as Herod the Great because he was responsible for the expansion of the temple area, building Masada, building the Herodium, and building many other great structures. And this Herod was an evil despot, killing family members. If he felt threatened by them, he killed his wife and he killed three of his sons. So these words of the Magi were not well received by Herod, asking the scribes, where? The scribes quickly answered, Bethlehem, from the prophet Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, as we mark verses and chapters now. The Magi, they came to worship, and they came to prostrate themselves before the one born king of the Jews. Worship with their presence, with their posture, and with presenting their gifts. And these are the finest gifts you can give. Now, it's assumed to be three kings, or three magi, or three wise men, as the gifts were three. And also that Origen, one of the early church fathers, identifies the names of the three as Gaspar, Melchior, and Belshazzar. Now, the source of the names Origen writes down is unknown. So what do we know? But the Magi, we know, they came. They came to worship. And set this in your mind. Set this in your heart. The historical importance of worship. It has not changed through the ages and changed through the eons. You get up and you go to the place where you need to worship. And you offer your gifts there where you need to worship in that place. Herod sent them on, and it's only a 5 mile or so journey to Bethlehem from Jerusalem. It's a really short journey. Matthew chapter 2, beginning of verse 8. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go, make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him. They went and they found the child and the mother and worshipped. They fell down before the child, this baby boy. Matthew 2, verse 11. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of frankincense and of myrrh. The Greek word translated here is bowed down. It means to fall down, yes, fall down, but it also means to fall down under condemnation. There's a reason you've fallen down. Because you feel you're under condemnation. Something about being in the presence of this child caused these men to fall down prostrate before the child with a sense of condemnation. Do you feel that reality in your life? Being in the presence of the living Lord God, having that sense, I'm not worthy because I'm a sinner. Like Isaiah, in the presence of the Lord, it's written of in Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah 6, verse 5. Woe to me, I cried. I am ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Have you had that sense in your life? Or as John would say, it's written in Mark chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. And this was his message, after me will come one more. And that's John the Baptizer. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And then Matthew gives this account of John the Baptizer saying, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. But do you get that sense? Jesus comes to John and John says, "I need to be baptized by you. And you come to me." Realization. That realization of who we are in the reality of the great cosmos as sinners in need of mercy, as sinners in need of grace, needing something outside of and beyond of what we could ever do. That feeling flowing from knowing I can never do enough. Everything I do will fall short. I'm a miserable sinner. I need a Savior. Herod soon realized he was duped. I mean, Bethlehem is just a couple hours' journey from Jerusalem, easily 3 hours or less. Surely Wood should have come back by now that they found the child. Bethlehem's not big, perhaps 1,000, 2,000 at most. Not much to search through, not difficult to search, and how many newborns among 2,000 or less? Now, here's an interesting side note to think of. Bethlehem, in those fields where the sheep and goats are grazing, is just 5 miles from Jerusalem. It's just right next door to Jerusalem. And Herod the Great, enlarging the temple area, it really increased all that was going on there and the need for animals for sacrifice, the need of items for sacrifice. So I just think the reach of Jerusalem has now probably reached out to Bethlehem. And the agricultural produce was there supplying the offerings and the sacrifices going on at the temple, on the Temple Mount, that Herod greatly increased in size. And by doing so, greatly increased the economic impact of what happens at the temple. The goats and the sheep from the fields soon would be found as sacrifices at the temple. This is the place Jesus was born. They'd be sacrificed at the temple as sin offerings. It's really something to ponder as the reality of being a sinner and the need of a sacrifice for sin. And that could be found in Bethlehem. It really makes one think and go, As a child, that little baby boy was born to be Savior. Or in John the Baptist's words from the Gospel of John chapter 1, seeing Jesus come towards him, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The wise men left Bethlehem, bypassing Jerusalem and Herod, as they were warned in a dream. Joseph warned in a dream from the angel of the Lord to flee, as Herod seethed with anger and sent his soldiers to kill the boys of Bethlehem. Yes, as it's written in Jeremiah chapter 31, Rachel was weeping for her children and no comfort, for they were no more. Rachel, this Rachel, is the beloved wife of Jacob, who was buried in the area of Bethlehem. It's written about in Genesis chapter 35. And time moves quickly. Knowing basically nothing of Jesus' childhood in Egypt, and really knowing nothing of Jesus growing up in Nazareth. We only have this one episode when Jesus is 12 and left behind in Jerusalem after the Passover. Then after 3 days, another get you thinking, after 3 days they found him. And where was he? He was in the temple with the teachers, displaying wisdom beyond his years. Found 3 days after searching. Gets you thinking. Then nothing of Jesus' life in Nazareth till these words of Mark chapter 1, verse 9. "At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan." Or these from Matthew chapter 3. "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John." Or these words from John chapter 1. "I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.'" Now it seems from the Gospel of John, Jesus came to be baptized so that John the Baptist would recognize the Savior. Have it made known to him. John said, I would not have known him. Now this is interesting, for most likely John did know Jesus, as they were related. Mary, Jesus' mother, and Elizabeth, John's mother, were related. They were cousins. That Greek word translated as known into the English as known, that's the problem. You're presuming something. Oh, I haven't known him. It seems like he never met Jesus, never knew Jesus. No, that's not the meaning of the Greek word. This Greek word translated as known is not the sense of knowing a person. The Greek word, ido, it means to properly see a person. Have you ever been in a situation thinking, you knew this person, you really knew that person, and then they go and do something that opens your eyes to who they truly are? This usually happens when first beginning to get to know someone. You know, when they're trying to be the best that they can be to curry your favor. I mean, best behavior, hiding all their flaws. And many movie lines go this way, too. It shows that theme of hiding the ulterior motives. Then an interaction happens, and the true self comes through to be seen. Ido means to be aware, behold, perceive. And in usage, it means to see with the physical eyes as it bridges to the metaphorical. And this bridging the gap from the physical to the spiritual. From the physical before your eyes, ido, you see the spiritual that is unfolding before your eyes at that very same moment. John knew Jesus as his cousin. Now in this moment, this portion can be interpreted as, now in this moment, John comes to know Jesus, his cousin, as Messiah, the Son of God. Because his eyes are open, his eyes see, ido, and it's revealed to him. I mean, he was told, the one you see, the heavens open, the Spirit come down, that is the one. Mark chapter 1, beginning of verse 9. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Now, another side note. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, it's an indication of direction of action. It does not mean Jesus was dunked under the water and now is bringing his head up above the water again. Rather, the image described here is as Jesus was leaving the water, stepping on the shore's dry land. That's what the meaning of the Greek word is here, leaving. The Greek word is anabaino. It's a compound word from ana, which means upwards, and baino, meaning to walk. To go. So it's as Jesus was stepping out of the water is a more accurate description of this moment. As Jesus was stepping out of the water, the heavens opened, the dove descended, and the voice spoke. The very things that John the Baptist was told to look for. John chapter 1, beginning of verse 32. Again, this is the Gospel of John chapter 1, beginning of verse 32. Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me. The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify, this is the Son of God. John says this about his baptizing ministry. That through what he was doing, baptizing with water, Jesus would be revealed to Israel. John chapter 1, verse 31. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Again, that word know. It's that same Greek word, ido, as in verse 33. John knew his cousin. Now John knows his cousin Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ. the Son of God, for it has been revealed to him. God gave him the sign. This is the one. I tell you, this is the one. When this happens, this is the one. Revealed. This is important. The true spiritual reality of Jesus is so far beyond our understanding, and the grasp that the reality of Jesus has to be revealed to us. To make clear, to make visible, I mean, to manifest, to make known. Think of this. How many hundreds and perhaps how many thousands of people from Jerusalem and the surrounding Judean countryside came to John to be baptized in the water? How many hundreds? How many thousands? I mean, Jerusalem was a big town, big city at that time. How many came to be baptized with water by John for repentance? We don't know. But this one, Jesus, the heavens opened, the Spirit descended, the voice spoke. He's the only one to whom these things belong. These things happen, thereby revealing this is the promised one of God for the whole world, as John said. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So now let's bring the Apostle Paul in. First, we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 3. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body and sharers together in the promises in Christ. Again, we find the word revealed in English. In the Greek, it's a synonym for that word revealed, translated revealed in John chapter 1, verse 31. Revealed to Israel. This is a synonym. Ephesians 3, this word means to uncover. That is, uncover, to reveal what is hidden. What was hidden is that the sacred scriptures and all that they speak of given to Israel at first would one day be uncovered, and for the Gentiles too. A Gentile was anyone who was not Hebrew. A Gentile is anyone who was not Jewish, a Jew. So the history written down by Moses, along with the laws of the Lord, revealing the character and nature of the Lord God, as well as declaring what is good and what is sin, along with all those histories of the prophets and all that is written down in the sacred scriptures, pointing to the Messiah of Israel, would also bless the Gentiles. For Jesus is the Savior of all people. All who would come to believe Jesus is the Savior, the Son of God, would become a child of God and an heir together with Israel. Gentile and Jew together, heir as one body, sharing in the promise of Christ Jesus. As Paul would write by the power of the Holy Spirit, just a few lines later in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. The Magi were the first to come and worship as Gentiles the Christ as a baby in Bethlehem. And now we together, these thousands of years later, come and worship the Christ, crucified and risen Lord, one faith, one baptism, Jew and Gentile together as one body in Christ, as each one is forgiven and born again through Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 6, beginning of verse 3. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly be also united with him in his resurrection. And now we, as the church, the body of Christ, are to proclaim what has been revealed to us, the eternal purpose which God accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. The God of wonders beyond the galaxy, they came to save us and make us heirs with Christ Jesus, the Son of God. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning of verse 12. In Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. And this is how we approach God. Romans chapter 3, beginning of verse 21. But now a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. The righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Him as sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. How do we understand sacrifice of atonement? The history that is written in the sacred scriptures of the Jewish people and their worship of sacrifices and blood and lambs and goats for sin. How do we understand Jesus is the Christ? Through the history of the Jewish people. And we and the Jewish people in Christ are one body, one church, an heir together of all those promises in Christ. The God of wonders had this great master plan to come to be with us and save us from our sin, to give us a righteousness that we could be in His presence. The righteousness we need is not our own. It's the righteousness of Christ through His blood. And so came to be with us, to give us this great gift of grace, this righteousness, so that when time comes of our earthly journey to end, Gentile, Jew, believe in Christ, you will be in the presence of God with the righteousness of Christ opening the way. That's the mystery Paul writes about. That's the mystery that was hidden in the sacred scriptures of the Old Testament. That all that was being given to the Jewish people is now given to all people. The very presence of God and redeeming grace. That is such joy. We are atoned for all our sins, and it's through faith in His blood we are forgiven. Boy, God is a God of wonders, that He loves us so much to make us His children through Christ and heirs, Jewish, Gentile, one body, one church, one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Amen and amen.